Well, I hope I'm turned on here so you can hear me. I sitting over there a while ago, and I sent my Bible and my notebook up here, and I saw James over there messing with it, and I thought he's going to take it away. Scared me to death. While I was pastoring, I had a reoccurring dream that I got in the pulpit to preach, and I couldn't find my Bible. And that was a kind of a nightmare to me. So it made me think about it, you know. This might be the time that dream comes true. I can't find my Bible. And if I can't find my Bible, I ain't got nothing to say. Because everything I got to say comes out of it. Amen. All right. Good to be here this morning. Thank you for asking me. Thank you, Brother Dave. He's not here. Thank you, James, and the congregation. Appreciate it very much. And thank you, Solid Rock. Boy, I appreciate you boys' music. I really do. Give me a jump start here. Huh? And when you're my age, son, you need a jump start. Huh? Yeah. Somebody told me a while ago not to do much acrobatics up here because there's too much wires around here. I'm afraid I'll be tied down a little bit. You know, open your Bibles this morning. Let's kind of preach out the Bible. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians comes right after Galatians, right before Philippians. Okay? And we're going to read just a little bit. I want you to stand in reverence to the Word of God while we read the Bible this morning. Word of God is the most important thing in the world. Amen. Most important message. God's message to me and you. Amen. And to the world. And we're going to talk about warfare this morning. And Christian warfare. And there's some things in here, I can't cover all that's in here, but we're going to limit ourselves to just a little bit. One word, a whole lot. Okay? So I want you to pay attention as we read to the word stand. Stand. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for meeting with us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to stand in this pulpit today. Thank you, Father, for those that are standing listening, Father, and may, Father, they hear something that will help them, Father, and help them be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Help them, Father, to walk in his way. Father, I pray, Father, that you'd guide and direct this church and it's all its endeavors and its soul winning, Father, and reaching the bus ministry, reaching folks for Christ. Father, I pray today that you'd bless this preacher, Father, because he surely needs your help today. Father, I know I'm weak and undone, but Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now I understand why Paul said that. I know that when he realized how weak he was, he depended on God. And Father, I'm depending on you today. And I need your leadership, and I ask for your help. But Father, I pray that if there's one here this morning that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's not sure of his salvation, Father, you draw him to Jesus by the power of the Word of God. Not by what I got to say, but by the power of the Word of God. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Let's look at the text just a little bit. I want to draw from two verses, verse 13 and 14. And look again, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And verse 14, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, brother, I believe we're living in an evil day today. In a day whenever it's not long before Jesus is going to come back. And in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he talks about wars and rumors of wars and false prophets and pestilence and those things that are going to come on us in the last days. And Jesus emphasized that there are things that are happening day after day and in the world all down through history. But in the last days, they will accumulate, come together. They will be worse in the last days than they have been down through the ages. Right. Look around you. Ain't it a little worse today? Look at the storms. They're worse than they ever have been in the United States. And I believe that's a warning for the United States. And folks, I believe that in this day, it's so important that Christians stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to make a stand. You can't fall for everything that comes along. There's so much false doctrine and stuff around here today on the television and everything. Folks, you got to determine where you stand and what you stand for. I stand for this book. Amen. I stand for the Bible. And I think when I talk about stand, I'm talking about having those principles in your life that will not change, don't make no difference what comes along. Okay? Let me give you a couple examples. I'm a Redskin fan. I don't care win, lose, or whatever. That's still my team. I'm a Redskin fan. Don't mess with me about it. All right? Another one is my wife over. I love her to death, but she hates dirt. Yeah, she hates dirt. Preacher, she said, "Bill, don't you come in this house with them dirty shoes on. Pull them off. Don't let me come in the house with my work pants on, you know, where they're dirty, got grease on. Don't you come in this house with them on." You know, she hates dirt. She ain't never changed. She was sick there for a little while. I done kind of like I wanted to, but now she's getting a whole lot better. And she's got back to her own self. She ain't changing. Standing on something. Standing on something. You know, sometimes people stand on the wrong things. Huh? Yes. They stand for the wrong thing. I witnessed to a fella in Chester, Virginia when I pastored a church up there. And I asked him, "Is he a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "Well, why don't you come to church?" He said, and his wife come to church regular. He said, "Well," he said, "I don't come because all them hypocrites over in church, you know." And he took a stand because of the hypocrites, you know. I don't think God's going to count that very good when he gets to heaven. That ain't a good stand, I don't think. Huh? Paul told the Philippians to take a stand, to stand. So let's read the scripture here. I had to put my notes in a big notebook so I could see them anymore. And Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 said this. He said to the Philippians, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Ain't that good? Amen. Let all your conversation become the gospel of Christ. Don't get off on this other stuff. "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand that ye stand fast in one spirit. Amen. Amen. I mean, you got one thing on your mind. And you stand hard in the Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of the gospel, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. And that's what the church ought to be doing, striving for the faith of the gospel, striving to let folks know Jesus. I like James here because he likes to see people soul winning, you know. And I picked up an old notebook to use and look what I had on the back of it. I didn't mean it that way, but that's what it had, soul winning. When I was here, some of you, a lot of you here know me, know that I taught soul winning a whole lot in this church. I tried to encourage folks to win souls. Paul again says, therefore, my brethren, and dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Amen. That's the thing you got to stand for. Stand fast in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. I want to stand on the rock where Moses stood. How about you? And the Bible says that that rock followed was Jesus Christ that followed Moses through the wilderness. I want to stand and put my life on the solid rock, on Jesus Christ. He's the only thing to stand on. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, listen, he said, in Matthew, he said, build your life, if you love me and you keep my teachings, he said, build your life on a solid rock, on the rock. He said, because when the storm comes and when everything comes against you, you know, and the rain falls and all that, your house will stand. My life has proved that. I've based my life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that's come my way, brethren, I've been able to stand. Jesus also added to that, but if you build your house on the sand, on the world, on the things of the world, when the storm comes and the sand's washed away, your house is going to fall. And I think the right thing, right way to look at that is that whenever you're living in the world and base your life on the wrong kind of things, and the storm comes and hard times get your way, everything will fall down around your ears. You know, stand on the Lord Jesus Christ. My rock is Jesus, and he's the one. Paul talked about it, the rock being the chief foundation of the life. Jesus is my foundation, the foundation for my life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10-11, it says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Brother, you can't find nothing else to build your life on but Jesus Christ that will last and will stick with you. Don't make no difference what you have to go through. Peter said, I mixed up my notes, but that's all right. I always do that. And most of you know that every once in a while I get away from them. Huh? And whenever you hold and get away from your notes, you're in trouble, son. Peter said this, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now I want you to know he's talking about the church there a little bit. The stone that the world disallowed was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the chief cornerstone of the church. And we ought to build our churches, not only our life, but our churches on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let him be the guide and let him be the leader. Amen. You can't go wrong if you build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I went back and looked at some illustrations I used a long time ago, and one of them was John Huss. He was a man back in, lived in Batavia during the Reformation time, you know, in the 15th century. And he preached the gospel. And at that time, the Catholic Church was against the gospel. Just like folks today in this world are getting to be against the gospel. But he preached the gospel. And they condemned him of heresy. Said he was a heretic. And they tied him up, brought him down to the stake, and tied him to a stake. Set fire to it. He kind of reached his head around the fire, and he said this. He said, I have never preached anything, any false doctrine. And that which I have taught, with my lips, I will now seal it with my blood. Amen. You know, but that's kind of stand that Christians have taken in the past. I read about another one in that time that, and I forgot his name, but he preached the gospel and they condemned him to death, and they preached about baptism. He was a Baptist. I'm a Baptist inside and out. Amen. And you can't, I take a stand on that. Amen. You can't convince me nothing else. But he preached baptism. And they condemned him of being a heretic and took him down to the river, drowned him. He said, we'll give you all the water you can stand. Amen. But he took a stand. But let me tell you something, folks. The thing about it is one of these days, they're going to stand on the crystal sea before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is going to reach out and say, well done, my beloved servant. Amen. Now, don't you want Jesus to say that about you? Because you're going to stand before him one day, all of you. Every one of us is. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you're going to stand before the great white throne. That's worse. Amen. I may not use good English, but it works. Don't it? You understand what I say? I'm playing. Look at the text again. Let's look at the text again. I want to look at a couple of special things. Whew, my time's almost up. I ain't half done. I know. That's what y'all used to tell me. So keep on preaching to get done. You might be sorry about that now because there's food out there. Look at this text, verse 14. Just a minute. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Stand having your loins girt about with truth. Then you asked, what is the truth? What is the truth? Everybody wants to know what the truth is. And I want to know you to tell me the truth. Don't tell me no false stuff. Brother, let me tell you something. There's one truth that you can stand on and not ever have any question about it. And that's the Word of God. I believe every word in it. Amen. And I believe it just like we have it today in the King James Version. These others, I have a problem with them. Yeah? Amen? I'm sorry to tell you, but in the church I go to, they don't always just use the King James Version. They use other things. And I take a stand on the King James Version, teaching on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and some of them got to where they bring the King James Version to the Bible study. So they can understand the Word of God. You know, and get it right. And that's what we stand on. The Bible has stood the test of time, my friend. It stood the test of time. We've had it for almost 4,000 years. You say, well, not that long. But yeah, I mean, we've had it for almost 4,000 years. Started in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Did start in the Garden of Eden. So we've had it right at 4,000 years. So it stood the test of time. And a lot of people ask me, say, well, preacher, why do you believe the Bible so firm and so solid and stand on it so solid? I said, well, because of the fulfilled prophecies. Amen. That's what makes me know that the Bible is true. And there ain't no falsehood in it. In 710 years before he was born, Old Testament prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And just like the Bible said, he was born in Bethlehem. 712 years ago, the prophet Isaiah, he said that Jesus would be marred more than any man, die a death more awful than any other man, shed his blood for you and I. And when it come time, the prophecy was fulfilled right down to the letter. Right down to the letter. 712 years ago, Ezekiel, go back in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, on Ezekiel said that Israel, and all of you have seen this, that in the latter days Israel would be reborn as a nation. Never has a nation that has died, has raised up and has died, stood for 2,000 years. But Israel has. And it's reborn again in 1948. We see it today. We see the whole world against them, brethren. You ought to be for them and you ought to pray for peace in Jerusalem. You know, the Bible tells you that. Pray for it. But my point here is that 600 years ago, a little over 600 years before, no, 2,600 years ago, Ezekiel prophesied that Israel would become a nation again. And brother, it has right on time. Nothing's ever happened like that before. And I believe, that makes me believe the Bible. Believe the truths in the Bible. That's where I find the truth. Jesus testifies to the truth in the Bible. He said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
That's right.
Huh? And he said, I'm the truth. In Jesus Christ, in his person, he is the truth. And what he said, what he taught is the truth. You know, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Huh? Make you free from what? Make you free from the clutches of the devil. Huh? What did he say in the text here? He said, having your loins girt about with the truth. In other words, get your belt up, tied around you, you know, base everything in your life on the truth, on what you know is true. Jesus told the woman at the well when she asked him, she said, where should we worship? Here on this mountain or in Jerusalem? Jesus said this, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. What the Word of God tells us, let's look real quick. What the Word of God tells us about being saved. Huh? First, we must be born again. John 3, chapter 3, verse 3 says, you must be born again. If you're not born again and born by the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't even open the door and look at it. Amen? Cannot see it. Kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, what? Can I go back in my mother's womb, be born again? He said, no. He said, you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You have two births. You're born into the world, then you're born into the family of God. You become a child of God and walk with Him. Huh? And no man can come to Him except the Spirit draw him. There may be those here this morning that you've never received Christ. You're not walking close to Him. But if the Spirit's speaking to you, if there's something way down inside you tells you, yeah, you know you need to be saved today. Today's the day you need to be saved. Or tells you need to rededicate your life. Start serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Start standing for something. Hey, I want to stand for something in my life. I really do. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your soul. I thank God send me to the hospital every once in a while just so I can tell folks about Jesus up there. I make it a point to tell all the nurses and all the doctors about Jesus. And last time I was in the hospital, I had ruptured an artery, and I thought I was going to bleed to death. And they had me in the preparation room, ready to go in the operating room, and they was four or five nurses in there busying themselves around, you know, and this one little nurse had bright eyes. I knew she was a Christian. I said, do you know Jesus is Lord and Savior? She said, I sure do. Amen. I said, pray for me. She said, I will. And there's another down there. She's a little black girl. She was fixing my leg, something on my leg, you know, to hold me down or something. And I said, you know Jesus is Lord and Savior? She said, I do. I said, pray for me. I looked around. There's about three or four standing over there. And I said, y'all know Jesus is Lord and Savior? And they was shaking their head. About that time, a doctor come in. And he was the one that was going to put the anesthesia in my arm, you know, so I'd go to sleep. And I said, you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? He said, I sure do. I said, pray for me then. He said, all right, folks. He said, listen. He said, we're going to pray for this man. He said, I want everybody in this room to bow their head. And he led in prayer. I said, hallelujah. Yeah. When I went in the operating room, I had blood. I was still bleeding. When I come out, I was clear as a crystal. Huh? Been clear ever since. Walking upright. Jesus said, having based, I want to look. Well, I ain't done yet. Walls look, stand, verse 14 again. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, how do you get righteousness? You can't live it. You can't in no way in the world that you can live righteous and not have nothing against you. Because you're a sinner and you have a sin nature. And there ain't no way you can do it. You can't accomplish it. But one of these days, you're going to have to stand before God. The Bible says, no man can have his own righteousness. It says, before God, this my righteousness looks like filthy rags. That's what Isaiah said. I mean, the best I can do look like filthy rags before God. But I want to stand because Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says this. Says, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all them that he hath raised him from the dead. Notice what he said, he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. You know who that man is? Jesus. Amen. Now I want you to think with me just a minute. The day of judgment, you're going to stand right beside Jesus. And if you don't look just like him, you're going to go to hell. Uh-oh. Huh? Nobody don't like to hear that, do you? They don't like to hear you teach about hell. But if you're not as good as Jesus, you're going to hell. I ain't never seen anybody as good as Jesus, have you? But the only way that I can be Jesus is invite Jesus to come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. How do I get this righteousness? Bible says in Ephesians, put ye on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Huh? When you invite Jesus to come in your heart, Jesus puts on you his robe of righteousness, and he takes from you your old robe of sin, puts it on him, and he takes it to Calvary and dies on Calvary for your sin. kind of illustrate it this way. White man and an Indian went to revival out west, preachers preaching revival. And on Monday night, the Indian got saved. White man, he rejected the Jesus. And he didn't get saved till Friday night. Then he got saved. When he come out of the church, he looked at Indian and he said, "How come you got saved the first night and I had to wait till Friday night before I got saved?" He said, "Well, I tell you." He said, "Me look at my old robe," and said, "it's all torn, dirty, and rusty." And he said, "I'm ready to get rid of it." He said, "But you look at yours and you think it's pretty clean, you like it pretty good, you're willing to hold on to it." I'm not willing to hold on to mine, are you? I'm ready to put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have done that. I have done that. Jesus said, and I want you to listen to this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me." If any man, will knock at the door of Jesus' heart and hear Jesus knocking at his heart, Jesus will come in. And I know that the true interpretation of that in the book of Revelation is that Jesus is knocking at the church door. That's a church, apostate church in the latter days, that throws Jesus out. But it also applies to every man, because it says, "If any man will hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him." We have that promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that if we're willing to invite him in, he will come in and be your Savior. Let me tell you something. And he's standing on the right hand of God the Father for me today. He's making intercession for me today. Because I was willing to stand with him and receive him as Lord and Savior, he's standing with me and making intercession. Don't you want an intercessor like Jesus, one that's perfectly righteous and pure? We invite you to come this morning if you have never received Jesus. Maybe you're here and you just need to come and pray a while you come on up here to this altar. That's what it's for. And pray, and maybe you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You come tonight, this morning. If you've never been saved, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, you need to come. Amen. Amen. You know, hey, you need to have the confidence of knowing that you're going to heaven. Now, I don't want to go to hell. Do you? Tell you one more thing. I've told this here a dozen times, though. As a man, a preacher, had witnessed to and tried to get him to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and he refused and refused. One night he had a dream, and he dreamed that two dark angels come and got him, one on each side, took him down the path, said he saw a big city down there, and he said he could see the flames coming out of the top of the city over the wall, and he said he knew it was hell. And so when he got there, they got behind him to shove him in the gate inside. And said he looked down and he said Jesus was laying there with his chest open, and his last step would have had to been right on the heart of Jesus before he was cast into hell. Now, friends, I know that's a kind of a crude illustration, but it's the truth. Before you can go to hell, the last thing you have to do is step on the heart of Jesus. Come to him today and be saved. God bless you. Come on. Come on. James, where are you at? Take over. All right. Come on. John, help me down here, son. Thank you.
because he desires that all men should be saved and that all should come to the knowledge of truth. And so there is no excuse. All have been told the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you here today have been Christians for a long time. But maybe you've been at your workplace and you haven't been standing for Jesus. Today's the day to get forward and make that right, right here at this altar, and say, you know what, Lord? I haven't been standing for truth. I haven't been standing for the right things. I haven't been a witness and a testimony like I should. You know what? God's put you there in that place to be a light to those around you. And if you're not standing for Jesus, you're standing for the wrong thing. So I ask you, as Dr. Gooch put it, what are you standing for today? Are you standing for the light? Are you standing for the truth? Maybe if you're unsaved, you're saying this, I'm standing on my own goodness. Well, the Bible says, you know what? That righteousness is as filthy rags. It's tainted. It's dirty. It's not going to be good enough when you stand before a holy, righteous, and just God. I don't know about you. I'm with Dr. Gooch. I want to stand on the truth. I want to stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that I'm standing on those right things. You have a choice this morning to make about standing. We'll play one more verse and then we'll close. The invitation is still open. What are you standing on today? The Bible does say that the storms will come. Well, if you've been on this old raggedy earth for any length of time, you know this, the storms come. And if you haven't built upon the rock, guess what? It's going to be a great fall according to the Bible. Why not make things right with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today? Stand on the rock that will not be moved. Look this way. Thank you so much for being here today. What a wonderful time it's been.